Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Vav. We're beginning four lines from the top, Vav and Aleph, at the two dots. We're learning today, Lila Nishmas, Eva Zwibel, Chabad Bela Bat Yitzchak Zev. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin Tadar Rabban, four lines on the top, Vav and Aleph. We're teaching us today what the meanings of the words Yore and Malkushar, these are the different reigns that we spoke about at length in yesterday's shir. So Tana Rabban, the Brisa says, Yore, what is that reign? Shemore es Habrios, because it teaches the people to do several things. Rashi points out that it's Venosati Mitarasuchem Bito, Yore Umalkosh, so Yore are the first reigns, Reviyar Rishona, Hayoredis Vimarcheshwin. As we spoke out yesterday, they come down in Marcheshwin. Today we'll discuss could they possibly come down in Kislev. But the normal time for them to come is in Mar Cheshvan. And why is it called Yoreh? So this is a Lashon, Rashi says, Loma Nikra Yoreh, Shemor Lehen, it teaches the people to do these various things. What are they? Lotiach Gago Sein, Rashi explains that they would go and plaster their roofs with some sort of a tar, Sheltit, Shelo Yitfu Gishomim Babai, so there shouldn't be a leak in their ceiling. So this would teach them, hey, it's the rainy season, it's about to come, you better start doing this. So therefore, it's Yoreh, it teaches them that they should start doing lahatiach gagoseim. Number two, ulachnis esperoseim. Rashi explains, shenichu basados liyavshan adavshav. They would put various fruits to dry out in the fields because there was no rain. But now, this yore is teaching them, this rain is teaching them, you better go bring your fruits inside, otherwise they'll get wet and they'll get ruined. And the third thing is vasos kol tzorcheim. And in the other needs, Rashi explains, shayitvarim hatsrichim liyamos hagishamim. Anything else that is going to be impacted by the fact that the rains are coming, take care of those things right now. That's the first reason the Gemara gives in this brisa why it's called Yore. Those rains are referred to as Yore. Dover Acher, alternately, Shemirava Es Aretz, is what we brought down yesterday, that it fills up, it saturates the ground with water. Umashke Atahom, and the waters go all the way down until the depths of the ground. Shenema, this is based upon the pasuk where it says, Tulomeha Rave, this is a pasuk in Tilim, where it says that the furrows over here will be saturated with water. Naches Gidudea, that brings nachas to all the gidudim, those are the people, the groups of people. Birvivim timogigena, with the rains, it will go and soften the earth. And simcha tivarech, and the growths, the tzmachim, the sprouts, they will be blessed. Alternatively, another reason why it's called Yore, Dover Acher, Yore, it's called Yore, Sheyore benachas, that it comes down gently. Vena Yore bizaf, it doesn't come down with anger, it doesn't come down overly vigorously, violently. Now the Gemara says, maybe these are all reasons for Tov. Rashi says, maybe it's not the Tov. Maybe it's called Yore because of a bad thing. Or maybe, O Eino Yore, Ella, because Shemashiris Aperos is called Yore because it causes the fruits on the trees to fall down. Rashi points out that there are still certain trees that have fruit still on them. For example, he says Esrogim trees or Rimon and pomegranate trees or Sofitanum or the ends of the dates. There's still dates left on some of the trees. So maybe it comes to knock those down. It's Meshir es Aperos, Umashtif es Azroim. Likewise, it causes the Zroim, some of the seeds that are relatively superficial, to be washed away. Umashtif es Oilonos. And likewise, it washes away some of the trees. Rashi said there was another Girsa to say that it was Shotev es Agronos, but that can't be because there are no Agronos and no collections or storehouses yet of the produce in Mar Cheshvan. So that Girsa is incorrect, and we don't even have that Girsa in our Gemara. In any event, this is the, maybe it means in a negative connotation. Square says, no, that can't be because it's called Yore Umalkosh. They're lumped together, the hekesh between the Yore and the Malkosh. And therefore, Tamalom with Malkosh, it says the word Malkosh, Malkosh Lebracha. Malkosh is certainly Lebracha. So, through therefore, by being juxtaposed together, Af Yore is also Lebracha. Rashi explains, how do we know that Malkosh is Lebracha? So he says, She Evsha Ledorsho. It can't possibly explain it l'shaber granos or l'hashira peros because it doesn't possibly mean that it breaks the storehouses and that it removes the fruits because there are none. She'ena mitsuyim bosu peros. Those things aren't found at that period in time, so therefore it can't be a negative connotation. And therefore, v'yato yochol l'darsho elotov. The only way to say malkosh is only for good, and therefore it's yored ala malilos. It falls down and comes down on the crops that have already been picked, valakashin umamalias atua b'koshia, and on the sheaves of wool of wheat that are being filled up with the good grain inside of it. So therefore, it's only for a positive connotation. Versus maybe not. Wait a Malkosh, maybe Malkosh means Shemapil Esabatim. It knocks down the houses. You have such strong winds that it can knock down their relatively flimsy houses. Umashabris alone, so it could even break the trees. Umale Esasukoyim, and it could even bring about the Arbet to come, the locust to come. Sukoyim is translated as Arbet. Rashi brings down in the Targum, it refers to the Tzilotzal. In the Tochacha in Dvarim, it tells us that this Sukoah is the definition, the Targum of Tzilotzal. So therefore, this is various types of locusts. So maybe this is a negative connotation. Someone says, no, it can't be, because Yorah is juxtaposed with Malkosh, and Yorah is definitely for good. When the Pasuk tells us, that juxtaposition. So my Yorah lebracha, Yorah is for bracha, af Malkosh lebracha. So Gemara says, v'yorah gufe minolin. How do we know that that's for bracha? Because after all, we just said maybe it's not. So with circular reason, they say, well, Yorah must be bracha because Malkosh is a bracha, but maybe Malkosh is not a bracha. Oh, Malkosh must be a bracha because Yorah is a bracha. Bottom line is, how do you know that Yorah means levracha? When it says, when the Sati Matar is going to be taught, Kosh Bracha will give you the reins in their proper time, the Yorah and the Malkosh, that's a good thing. How do we know that? They'll see it because the Pasuk tells us, and Yoel, this is the episode that we talked about in yesterday's share where the terrible locust and famine came, and there was in this description of those psukim, it says, Ubnei Tzion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokeichem, that ultimately Chal Yisrael rejoiced that Hashem saved them. Kinasim lechem es ha-more litztaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the rains. Remember, we talked about the rain coming on the first day of Nisan, then the fifth day of Nisan, and the crops grew in a tremendously short period of time until the 16th day of Nisan. They were able to actually bring Korban Omer, the offering from the new crop. So, Kinasim lechem es ha-more litztaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them these rains, this more litztaka, for a good thing. And Vayor Lechem Geshem More Umalkosh Barishon. And it says that the rains came, the More and the Malkosh came Barishon on the first day of the month of Nisan, and then it continued on the fifth day of the month, and therefore this is clearly was Labracha, as outlined in that story in Yoel, and therefore that's how we know that Yor and Malkosh both should be darshed in a positive way. Tanur Rabban will in the following braisa, so Yor b'mar Cheshvan. The normal rains called Yorah come in Mar Cheshvan. We'll see that there are three different times that they come. There are three. There's Revi'a Rishona, Revi'a Shnia, and Revi'a Shlishis for these rains in Mar Cheshvan. And the Malkosh rains, they come Benisan. Now, how do we know this? Ah, Tomer Yorah ben Mar Cheshvan, Malkosh Benisan. You're telling me that Yorah comes always in Mar Cheshvan and Malkosh comes in Nisan. Maybe not. Oeno. You know what? Maybe, in fact, Elo Yorah comes Betishrei. It comes earlier. And Malkosh comes earlier in Iyar. So maybe those are the proper times for Yorah and Malkosh. So Moshe says it can't be Talmud Lomer, because the pasuk says in the Sati Mitaritz Echem Beito, it will come in its proper time, and the proper time when the rains have the most benefit for Klal Yisrael, for the crops, is during the month of Cheshvan and the month of Nisan. Right now, Darshan, what does the word Malkosh mean? We alluded to it already. Malkosh, Om Rav Nihiloi Bar Idi, Om Shmuel Rav Nihiloi Bar Idi, Sanim Mishmuel, that Malkosh means Dover Shemol Kashusein Shal Yisrael. Mol means to cut, and Kashusein is the hardness of Klal Yisrael. In other words, it goes and comes at a time when people are expecting it to come, and if it doesn't come, they're going to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says, and do tshuva, so therefore, it cuts off the hardness of people. It makes people dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it doesn't come in time. That's why it's called Malkosh. Another opinion, that was the opinion of Rav Nihiloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Another opinion is from Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel. They taught as follows, Tana, Dover Shememale Tuor B'Kasha, it causes the grains to grow inside the stalks of wheat that they're growing in. And that's what it means, Malkosh. It goes mole. It goes, it fills up the kosh, the hard part. Mole kosh, Malkosh. Finally, the third opinion is Masnisa, Tanya and Bryce. We learn the following, Dover Shiorit al Hamelilos Vialakashin. It's something that comes down on the grain, on the melilos, or the ears of the grains, Vialakashin, and on the stalks as well. In other words, there is already the stalk with the grain inside of it, and this goes and makes it more plentiful. Another bright Satan Rabbanon, Yoreh b'Mar Cheshvan u'Malkosh b'Nisan. The Yoreh rains come in Mar Cheshvan, as we said, and the Malkosh comes in Nisan. Maybe not, Gemara says, Ah, Tomer Yoreh b'Mar Cheshvan, but maybe it doesn't. Oh, no, Ela b'Chodesh Kislev. Maybe the Yoreh rains come in Kislev. So Gemara says, it can't be. Talmud Lomer, the bright says, Be'ito. Nasati b'Tar Tzchem be'ito, Yoreh u'Malkosh. In other words, Malkosh be'ito, just as Malkosh, the optimal time for it to come, we know is in Nisan. There's no doubt about that. So Af Yoreh be'ito. So too, the Yoreh, the optimal time for it is in Mar Cheshvan. Now, we don't read the rest of the words of Marsha Delitze, Kivin Shiotzen Isam, Yardu Gisham, Eino Simon Bracha. But that is true. We had already brought that down previously. It just isn't clear that that is always the case. We have another Brahis, Tanya Idoch, Yorub Machesh, Makush Benisan. Again, the premise is that Yorub comes in Cheshvan and Malkush comes in Nisan, this is Divrei Rabbi Meir. But here we have a Chachamim. No, in fact, Yorah B'Kislev. This opinion says that no, the proper time for Yorah could also be in Kislev. It doesn't argue, actually, as we'll see, that it could be in Cheshvan, but it says that also the proper time is in Kislev, because as we'll see, there are three different reigns that make up this Yorah reign, the Revi Rishon, the Revi Shlishis, and one opinion, the Chachamah's opinion, is that the third one of these is in Kislev. So therefore, it's appropriate to say that Yorah comes in Kislev as well. Now, whose opinion is this? Mon Chacham. Whose opinion is this that we say that the Chacham hold that Yorah comes in Kislev? So we'll see, these are three different opinions that we're going to bring down. Amar Rav Chisda, this is the opinion of Rav Yossi, that Rav Yossi is the Chachamim over here that say that Yorah can still come in Kislev. Why? Because there are three opinions that is brought down in the following Brisa as to when those three reigns of Yorah are, the Tanya. Ezohi Revi'a Rishona. What is the first part of the Yorah reigns known as the Revi'a Rishona, the first reigns? Habechira, the first one, Bishlosha B'Marcheshvan. According to this first opinion, the reigns start, the Revi'a Rishona, is on the third day of Marcheshvan. They known as the middle one, the Revi'a Shnia, is B'Shivabo, it's on the seventh day of Marcheshvan. And then the last one, which is known as the Afila, we had this previously, using the Shloshon Afila, meaning the last one, and this one is B'Shivasar Bo, on the 17th day of Cheshvan, Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir's opinion, the first opinion that's brought down over here, is that all three are obviously in Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, as we just brought down in the other Brisa, but he says the days are the third day, the seventh day, and the 17th day. Now, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer that the 3 days are B'Shiva on the 7th day, over Yud Zayin on the 70th day, and on the 23rd day, B'Asim B'Shlosha. And this is, in fact, the Halach L'Maisa. This is why in Eretz Yisrael, they start asking St. Talamotar on the 7th day, because this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that that's when the rains start, that's when the Revi'a Rishona of the Yorah is, and therefore that's when we should start asking Kosh Baruch Hu to bring it. That's the normal time, so therefore we should start saying the St. Talamotar at that time, and that is the Halach L'Maisa in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, 7, 17, and 23, all in the month of Cheshvan. But here we now have the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says the last one of these three is in Kislev, and that goes in accord with the Chachamim that said, Yorah B'Kislev. What is Rabbi Yossi's opinion? Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'Yud Zayin, it's on the 17th day that the first rains start, U'Basim Shlosha is the second rains, and then U'Barosh Chodesh Kislev, on the first day of Kislev, that's the third day rain. The Chenor Rabbi Yossi Omer, and therefore Rabbi Yossi said, Enei Yechidin Mesanim, the individuals who start to fast, we'll learn about this later in the Masechta, that when there is no rain, so then first the individuals start to fast, then all of Kai Yisrael fast, so when there is no rain by Kislev, so then the Yechidim would start to fast. But until then, Eina Yechidim Mesanin, Ad Sheyagiya Rosh Chodesh Kislev. According to Rav Yossi, now, clearly, the rains are delayed. You don't have any rains by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so that's the normal time for the Yorah rains to have come. Has not occurred yet, so then, that's when the Yechidim start to fast. Clearly, this is the opinion of Yossi, that you can have the third rain of the three rains of Yorah coming. The last one comes in Kislev, so therefore that's the price that it said, V'chacham amrim Yorah b'Kislev. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi. Man chachamim amr chista Rav Yossi hi. How we paskin? Amr chista, Rav Chista says, halacha Rav Yossi. We paskin like this opinion of Rav Yossi. That's the gears that we have. Rashi brings down another gears, however, it says, amr chista halacha ki Rav Yehuda, that it is the opinion which we paskin like halacha l'maisa, that the rain should start from the 7th, then the 17th, then the 23rd. So that's the opinion, according to Rashi, the gear so here should be Amar Chista Halacha Kirav Yehuda, which is in fact the way that Halacha really is. Then we have Amemar, Masdi Lo Alahad Rechista B'Holishna. Amemar had the opinion of Rechista in the following way. And this is in regard to a mission that we'll have on Daf Yud. And the Mishnah there tells us, B'Shloshe B'Macheshon Sholen Sagesham, and the first opinion, which is Rav Meir's opinion, is that you start asking St. Talamotar on the third day of the month of Cheshvan, because that's what Rav Meir says, that's when the rains are expected to start coming. Habachira B'Shloshe B'Macheshon. However, Rav Gamliel disagrees with Rav Gamliel Meir B'Shivabo. He holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that you start asking St. Talamotar, according to the opinion of Yehuda, when the rains are supposed to start coming, the first Revi'a Rishona of the Yorah, that's on the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan, and on that, Amar Rav Chista, Halachi Rav Gamliel. He's passing like Rav Gamliel, and in this way, he's really passing like Rav Yehuda. And with the change in the gears that the Rasi had in the first version, Amar Rav Chista, the Halacha is not like Rav Yossi, but the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, both of these two statements of Rav Chista are the same. Again, if you had the gears of Halacha Rav Yossi, the first opinion, so then the two statements of the Meir are at odds with each other. Nadigmar says, Kiman Razel HaDetanya, whose shita does the following brisa go in accord with? It says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Gishamim sheyordu shiva yomim zachar zeh. If you have the rains coming in seven consecutive days, one day after the other, so atamone behem revi'a rishona ushniya, that's the way the girsa should be over here, then you count them as the first rain and the second rain. The first rain and the second rain are included in those 7 days of rain. And then the proper girsa, according to the defus yad, should be o shniya ushlishis, or that if the rains come in 7 consecutive days, you can count them as the second and the third rains. So the proper way to read this is, Atamona behem ria revia rishona ushniya. If you have 7 consecutive days of rain, that can count for the revia rishona and shniya. Or if you have 7 consecutive days of rains, that can count ushniya ushlishas for the second and third rains. Now, whose opinion is it that you can have encompassing between the first and second, or between the second and the third, a 7-day period of time? Whose opinion is that? Come on, that can only go in accord with Rav Yossi, because Rav Yossi was the one that said 17, 23, and the first day of Kislev. So they're all within 7 days of each other, and therefore that's the only opinion that could be in accord here to saying that 7 days of consecutive rain could count for either first and second rains, or can count for the second and third rains. All the other opinions that we brought down, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, they have more than 7 days in between some of the rains, and therefore that couldn't be in accord with this price. Furthermore, Rav Chisra said another statement, Halacha Rav Yossi, he says that Halacha follows Rav Yossi, and that is that it's the 17th, 23rd, and the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Now, this obviously goes in accord with the Girsa that our Gemara had, that Rav Chisra said that Halacha is Rav Yossi. So working within that Girsa, the Gemara says, Bishlama Rav Yerishona Lishol. I understand that when the rains are supposed to start falling, that's when you ask, St. Talamot Levracha. So that's why we need to know what the first day is. According to this Girsa, it's the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. According to Girsa, it's Rav Yehuda, so it would be the 7th day of Mar Cheshvan. Fine, we need to know that to know what to start saying the St. Talamot Levracha. And likewise, Shlishish, I have to know when the third rain of the Yor is, the Revio Shlishish, because if the rains haven't come by that point in time, that's when the Yechidim have to go and be Misanim. So I understand why you have to tell me Bishlama Revio Rishona, Lishol. Bishlama Revio Shlishish, Lisanos. I know why you have to tell me the first and the third rains when they occur. But Shnia, the middle rains, the Emtsois, the second rains, Lamai, what's the halachic purpose of knowing what date it is? Who cares what day it is? As long as I know the first day and I know the last day, who cares what the middle day is? So Rav Zera tells us, no, this is essential for Nidarim, the Nidarim. If the person makes various types of Nidarim that involve when the Revi'a Shnia is, so then it's important to know when that will be Chal. If not, as we learned in the Mishnah in Nidarim, and we turn to Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah in Nidarim tells us, Hanoder Ad HaGisham, if a person makes a vow that for whatever he is, he will not get an offering. This Rashi says, Konem Im Enem Midover Zeh Ad HaGisham. The person says, I'm not going to eat apples. I ask myself to eat any apples up until the Gishamim, until the rains come. Notice I pluralize that Gishamim is rains, as we'll see, that's one of the interpretations of Rashi. Or alternatively, he says, I won't get any anor from the apples, let's say, from this item, Mishayadu Gishamim, when the rains come. Then I can get anor from it when the rains come. So that includes Ashiterid Revi Yishniya. Since he said Gishamim, that means until the second rains. Now, why is that? So some suggest Rashi's second shot is Lishna Achrina, Ad HaGishamim Mashat Trei, Dainu Revi Yishniya. Gishamim is plural, so it means until the rains have come. The first rain and the second rain, plural rains. So therefore, that's why you need to know when the Revi Yishniya is. Alternatively, Rashi's first shot is Ein Karin LeGishamim LeRishona Ashiterid Shniya. It's only called rains when you have the second rains coming. Now you can see the impact of the rain on the roads. It floods them, it makes them muddy, and therefore it's only significant when the second rains come. There's no practical significance other than they started to come when the first rains come. So therefore, that's why this neder, when he says Hanoder Ad HaGisham, or he says Mishiyer Du Gisham, it means the second rain. So either these two reasons, Rashi. Alternatively, Rav Zvid Omar, a different reason why you have to know when the second rains are, Lezesim. It has to do with the din regarding the olives on the trees. That's not. As we have a Mishnah in Peah, the Mishnah in Peah tells us that Me'emasai kol adam mutarim, but leket b'shichah peah. Leket, shichah, and peah are various types of matnos aniyim. Leket is when you pick up the harvest and you drop one or two, so you have to leave it for the ani. The shichah is an area that you forgot to go and harvest, so you have to leave that for the ani. And of course, the peah is the corner of the field. The Rabbanon, it's 1/60th of the field. The rice, it could be any amount, as long as you leave some for the owner. You can't have 100% payah, but 99.9% payah would be good, or 0.1% payah would be good. So these are matnos aniyim, so they're supposed to be collected by the aniyim. At what point do we say that it's hefker, that even the rich people would be allowed to go and collect this? Even rich people would be mitarim lekem shichah payah, when they lose their status of being lekem shichah and payah for the aniyim. So mishayelchu and nemushos, when the nemushos, these are the latest people to come and go and collect the lekem shichah and payah come. We'll give two explanations of nemushos in a moment, so we'll wait till we get to that in one moment. Then, in regards to the matnas aniyim that are called the peret and olalos, peret is certain types of grapes. It's like leket that fell down when you were harvesting them. And olos are certain types of single areas of grapes as opposed to whole clusters of grapes. So these are left for the aniyim as well, peret and ovelos. So when can even rich people go and take those? The aniyim have, so to say, given up hope. They've used them all up as far as they're concerned. Mishayelchu aniyim b'kerem yavo. After the aniyim have gone the first time through the kerem and they've come back one more time, so then after that there's no likelihood that there's any peret or ovelos of significance left. So therefore, they're now no longer usher for a rich person to go and take it. And finally, here's the halacha that we're interested in, bezesim, in regards to when are rich people even allowed to take the shichcha and peya of the zesim, of the olives. So then, in that situation, so that is mishateired reviyoshnia. Oh, once the second rains have come, so then the aniyim have, so to say, given up hope that there's any significant zesim left, and therefore shichcha and peya at that point are mutter even for a rich person. Fine. That's the Ravitz reasoning why you have to know when the Revi Yashni is. It's regards to the Shichcha and Peya of Zeisim. By the way, now the Gemara explains my Nemushos. What were these Nemushos that we said that after these people have come by, the Lechet Shichcha and Peya for the regular produce in the field is allowed to be taken even by rich people, because these Nemushos have certainly taken away all the expected Matnas Aniyim of Lechet Shichcha and Peya that are there, and certainly nobody's expecting it to be anymore, and therefore it's now Hefker for all, including the rich people. So we have two interpretations of what these Nemushos are. Rabbi Yochanan, says it's Sabe, older people, the Ozli Atigra, that use a cane to walk. Rashi and Tosfos both explain that Tigra means a cane, and these are older people that are walking obviously very slowly, so they're not going to miss anything. A person rushing through, a younger person is rushing through, he could miss some, and therefore Aniyim still have hope that after the young guys run through, there's still going to be Lechet Shichcha and Peya around. But after these old people who are walking very, very slowly go through, you can guarantee that there'll be nothing left behind, and therefore now it's mutter even for the rich people because the Aniyim have given up hope. Alternatively, Reish Lakish Amar, that this is referring to Likute Basa Likute, that this is referring to the fathers and sons. Rashi says the fathers bring their children with them, and anything that the father might miss, the children are certainly going to get. So after these likute, bosa likute come, so then you will go and make it hefker, because nobody expects there to be anything of significant left. So therefore, the aniyim collectively, so to say, give up hope, and now it's hefker and it's mutar lakol. There's a beautiful sefer that's called the likute bosa likute, that's on Chumash and that is on Pirkei Avos. That is an example of this. He collects all beautiful things from various different farshim, and he calls the sefer Likute Basa Likute. He's the person going to collect all of these beautiful memra of Chazal. Mar says another reason why you need to know the Revi Yishniyah, Rapapa. Rapapa Amar, he says the reason is Kedei Lahalak Bishvilei Roshus, in order to allow people to know at what point they can still walk in a certain area without destroying the crops that are growing there. Once the rains come, so then you have to be concerned that it's going to destroy the crops that are over there. So therefore, you have to know when the Revi Yishniyah is, the Yom Amar, because we learned that when Yeshua said, when he was Mechalek Eretz Yisrael up, so he gave certain 10 rules in order to make it easier to live in Eretz Yisrael. So one of them was, Mahalchin Kol Odom B'Shvilei HaRishus, that everybody's allowed to walk on these Shvilei HaRishus, these public areas that were private property, but everybody was given the right to go and walk on these Shvilei HaRishus, because that would make it easier to go and live in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you were allowed to walk there when there was no damage done to that area. But once the second rains come, so the crops are beginning to sprout, so therefore, you're going to damage, if you walk over there, you're going to damage any crops that are growing there, so you no longer have the right to walk there. Until then, there's no harm done. So if there's no harm done, why not let people walk there? So Yeshua was Masaki, and yes, people can walk there. But once the second rains come, so then the crops are going to start growing there, you can't go and walk in those paths anymore. Finally, another din for why it's important to know when the Revi Yishniyah is, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Levar Perush Shvius. He says that you need to know that certain types of Shemitah produce, the seventh year produce, Shvius produce, so you're not allowed to use it, you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it by a certain time in the eighth year. And when is that? That's by the Revi Yishniyah. And what is this? This is a Mishnah in Shvius. It's not. Now here, we're going to just go with simple with our gears. So there are multiple different gears over here, multiple different interpretations, and we're just going to learn it nice and simple with the gears that we have. Did not. Until what time are you allowed to use? And then at that point in time, you have to have the biur process with tevin and kash. Tevin and kash are literally translated always as stubble and straw. So this is Shemitah, tevin, and kash, and you're still allowed to benefit from it up until the point in the eighth year when it no longer is considered available in the fields, and that's when you have to be mevirit. You have to get rid of it. You have to, quote, burn it. We'll see the different interpretations of what burning means. And this period of time is Achateirid Revi Yishniyah. Oh, that's why we have to know when the Revi Yishniyah is. Now the Gemara says, how come? Where do we learn this din that there's a Zman Bior that's until the Revi'a Shnia? So my timer, where's that rationale based upon? They'll say, because the Pasuk says that you're allowed to go and keep Shemitah in your houses as long as the Behemos and the Chayas have it in the field. Well, the Behemdecha and the Chayas, Shariatzecha, they're allowed to enjoy that produce. So Kol Zman Shechayo Cheles Besadeh, as long as the animals are able to still eat this type of Shemitah produce in the fields, so you are allowed to eat it. Ha'achel Behemdecha Babayis, you can still feed it to your animals in the house. However, once it's no longer in the fields, Kol Lachaya Min Asadeh, if it's no longer available in the fields for the animals, so then, at that point in time, you're not allowed to get benefit from it, and you can't give it to your animals themselves. Kale Levehemdecha Min Abayis, you have to remove it from the house, be mevire it, which has a number of different interpretations. Some suggest you actually just have to bring it outside and be mafkir, and then you can go bring it back inside. Others say, no, it literally means to be mabayit. Again, not for our discussion right now, but in any event, at what point are this tevin and kash no longer be available for the animals in the field? That's when the second rains come, because the second rains are going to come and ruin any tevin and kash that's left out there. So therefore, you need to know when the Revi'a Shnia is, in order to know when you can no longer give your animals tevin and kash in the house. Finally, on the Rabbi Avoh tells us, my lashon revia. What does the word revia mean? Another definition of what revia is, it's dover shoroveh es hakarka. It goes and has relations, so to say, with the karka. The lashon of revia is a lashon of pruvu, usually by animals, nirva and roveya, are animals that, rachmon al-san, you commit bestiality with, either actively or passively. So this is, rain is known, the revia is, it's a dover shiroveya esakarka. It goes and penetrates, roveya means it goes into, just like a man goes into the woman, the male animal goes into the female animal, so it's roveya esakarka, the rains go into the karka. And this is in accord with what Rav Yehuda said, the kid Rav Yehuda. What did he say? Rav Yehuda, mitra Bala the Arahu, the beautiful poetic expression that the rains are like the husband of the ground. The rains are the male, and the ground is the receptive part, that's the female. So therefore, the rains are considered the husband of the ground. And we see this from Paskin Yeshaya, where it says, Shenemar, Ki kasher yered hageshem yashelig min hashamayim. Right? This is the Haftorah that we say on a Tainis. It says, kasher yered hageshem yashelig min hashamayim, when the rains and the snow come down from the sky. Vishama lo yashuv. And it doesn't go back up there. What does it do? Kiyim hir v'asaretz. It goes and penetrates into the ground. V'olidah. And then it uses this expression of giving birth, just like a man and a woman when they have relations. It ends up with a child, hopefully, mitz Hashem. So therefore, this rain comes into the ground, it penetrates it, v'olidah v'yitzmicha, and it brings forth the produce. So therefore, this analogy to childbirth, so that's why the rains are considered, Rav Yehuda says, like the husband of the ground, that they penetrate into the ground. That's Rabbi Avoh's statement. He says another statement. How do we know that the rains have come sufficiently enough to call the Revi'a Rishona? That's when the rains have come into the karka and they penetrated into the karka, a tefach. Shnia, how do we know that that rain is considered significant? That you can go, the rains fell enough that you could go and create from the mud there a covering to a barrel. And Amar Rav Chista adds, and he says, similar to what Rabbi Avoh said, Yishamish Shiyardu Kidei Logov Ben Pichavis. If you have enough rain that you could come and make a covering for a barrel, so then, by definition, that's the Revi'a Shnia, and therefore, by definition, you haven't had Yotzaris HaShemayim Lo Yematar. Ein Ben Mishum V'Yotzar. That doesn't get included in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has stopped the heavens from giving forth rain, and therefore, if you have that much rain, then Baruch Hashem, that is not considered a klala, that is considered a bracha, and it's not. Yotzaris HaShemayim Hashem stopped up the rains from coming. Another statement from Rav Chisda, from Rav Chisda, Gisham Rishardu Kodem, Yotzar. If rain came before you said the words in the Shema, Yotzaris HaShemayim Lo Yemotor. In other words, we say Shema twice during the day. We say it in the morning, we say it at night. So he's telling us, Rav Chisda is saying, that if the rains came before you said Yotzaris HaShemayim Lo Yemotor in the Shema, also, that is showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the reins and there isn't a klal of Yotzar Shema Yivlo Yematar. So obviously, which Shema is he talking about? What reins are we talking about? The reins that come in the morning or the reins that come at night? Amar Bai, Lo Amarin, Rav Chisda only said a statement, Elo, that it's not called Yotzar Shema Yivlo Yematar, that it's not a curse, Elo Kodem Yotzar Deurta. That's only if we're talking about reins came before the nighttime Shema. That's a good thing. But if the reins come early in the morning, Elo Kodem Yotzar, of the Tzafra, when you say in the Shema in the morning, so the rains come in the morning, yesh b'mishum v'yotzar. That is unfortunately a klala if you haven't had the rains at night, you only have the rains in the morning. Now, The Amar Rav Yehuda Rietzot, this is based upon what Rav Yehuda Rietzot said. He said, Hani Anani Detzapra, when you have clouds, meaning rain, coming in the morning, less Buma Mashasha. That doesn't have a real benefit. It's not substantive because those rains don't really produce any benefit. The Pasuk says in Hosea, what can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for Yehuda? You're not very good. Your chesed is like the Anan Boker. In other words, it's very transient. It's very unimportant. It's very unsubstantive. And therefore, that is the rains of the morning. They're not very good. So therefore, when you say there's rains before the morning, that's unfortunately not going to tell you that there's no Vyotzar Shema Blei Matar. But the rains come at night. Before you say Shema at night, that's a good rain. That therefore means that there is no Kol of Vyotzar Shema Blei Matar. Amri Rapali Abai, Rabbi says Abai, wait a second, is that really true? For Amri Inche, the popular saying amongst the people is, the Miftach Bave Mitra Barchama Moch Sakoch Ugani. That if rains come in the morning, so then the Barchama, the truck drivers of those days, the ones that had donkeys that would transport the grains from one place to another, Moch Sakech, go and take your sackcloth with you, go and collect the grains in, and fold it up and put it under your head and go to sleep, Ugani. Because, as Rashi explains elsewhere, Rashi says that this basically means that these people who make their living, the truck drivers, from bringing the grains from one city to another city, they're not going to make a lot of money because there's a plenty of grain. And therefore, they're trucking it from a place that does have a lot of grain to a place that doesn't have a lot of grain. It's just not going to exist because if you have morning rains, it means there's going to be good crops everywhere. So how can you tell me morning rains are no good? You see from this popular aphorism that people say that b'miftach b'avi mitra b'archama moch sakoch ugani, that morning rains are good. Shmuel says, no kasha, it depends on what type of rain you're talking about, what type of clouds you're talking about. That which we said, that it's very good, and that the truck drivers should go and go back to sleep because they're not going to make a living. Hard to cut your be'eva, that's when you have nice, thick, juicy clouds that are going to produce a lot of rain. However, that which he said, that it doesn't mean if you have rain in the morning, a little clouds in the morning, that it's not a klola, it is a klola, that's all you have, that's when you have only these insignificant types of clouds, these flimsy types of clouds, that is never, not a good sign. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Tova Lishato de Teves Armalta. The best thing that could happen is a year in which Teves is an armalosa, a widow. In other words, we just explained before, from Rabbi Yavo, that he said, Kid Rav Yehuda, the statement that Rav Yehuda had made, that the rain is like the husband of the ground, so it's great if the ground is a widow. In other words, if there's no rain in the month of Teves, that's a good thing. Why is that? Because there fell so much rain beforehand that therefore they don't need the rain in the month of Teves. Teves rains are late rains. If the rains come much earlier, so it's great that there's no need for rains in Teves, and that Teves is, so to say, a widow month. The ground is widowed in Teves because there's no rain. Ika di Amre, the low by the lobaire tarbitze. That's because the benefit of this, why it's a good thing, it's tava, it's a good thing, is because this way the roads aren't all muddy and wet, and the Talmidei Chacham can easily get to yeshiva. And therefore, the lobaire tarbitze, the roads are able to go and be utilized, and Torah can flourish, and there's lots of harbatzas Torah. Alternatively, vika di amrei, the lo shakul should fana. Or, because if there's no rain, so then the winds, when they come, they're not going to go and spread the rain about in a negative way. The produce can be destroyed, Rashi says, by strong winds if there's rain present as well. So if there's no rain, these strong winds won't have the shudaf, they won't have the ability to destroy the crops. So more questions is, Ine, is this really so? Vamar Chisto, Tovel Shata de Teves Menavalta. No, the exact opposite, that it's very, very good if Teves is a nivel type of a month. In other words, when everything is all messed up. In other words, the roads are all muddy. So the exact opposite. Bum faker. So which one is it? It says Lokasha. The two aren't contradictory. It depends, again, what type of rain comes. The first time that we said it's good, the Teves should be in a malotza, that it should be a widow. In other words, there should be no rain in Teves. Hold also, mitra meikar. That's when you had a lot of rains previously, as I explained. So great. Now that Teves is dry, there's plenty of opportunity to go learn Torah. The roads aren't muddy, and the crops won't be destroyed by having rain around if there's strong winds. So that's the first statement that we said it's good not to have rain in Teves because you had a lot of rain in Cheshvan and Kislev. But the second, where we said that it's good to have a manuval dicker type of Teves, in other words, that the roads were all messy with rain, that's when there was no early rain, so at least Baruch Hashem, there's rain now in Teves. Better late than never. When there was no rain originally, so then better to have it come in Teves. Another statement that Ruchista made, Yom Ruchista, Gisham Shardu Amikzas Medina, the Amikzas Medina lo yardu, you have rains that come on part of the nation, but not on the other part of the nation, so that's also not considered the klala of Ein Bei Mishum V'Yatzaris Shemayim lo Yimotar, because the places that have rain will support the places that don't have rain. More questions this as well. Ini, is this really so? Foksiv, it says in Amos, it says, V'gamon Ruchim Onati Mekem Es HaGeshem Ba'od Shlosha Chodoshim La'Kotzir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will stop the rain from coming when you still need the rain during the months that you're pre-Kitzira, in the 3 months before you go and harvest, v'imtarti alir echas, and even though I will bring rains on one city, v'alir achas lo'amtir, in another city I won't bring, nevertheless, chelk achas timotir v'gomer, it's not going to be good for you, even though there'll be rains in some areas. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, shtei and l'klola, that both the cities that have the rain, cities don't have the rain, it's bad. So how can you tell me, Rav Chista, that it's not a curse of Yetzaris Shemayim v'Olim Matar, when you have rains coming on one city and not on the other city, because that one city will help the other city? Here in Amos, it says exactly the opposite. So Morgan says, no kasha, it's not two contradictory statements. Again, it depends. So when we say that the rains on one city are no good, and they can't support the other city that doesn't have rain, it's because there's too much rain. So the city that had a little bit of crops, the rains are going to destroy it. There's too much rains, the torrential downpours are going to destroy it. So that's when we said it's a curse, like in Amos. However, when we said it's a good thing, the Rav Chista said, so that one city has the rains that it needs, and it can support the other city that doesn't have any rain at all. And Rav Ashi says, I'll show you that that's correct. I'm a Rav Ashi, Daikanami. If you look carefully at the pasuk, you'll see it says, Diksiv, Timoter. What does Timoter mean? At the end it said, Chelk achas Timoter v'gomer. So it's the Hey Mako Moter. It will be too much rain in that one place. As the Rabbeinu Chanan says, it will be like an Ashbor, it will be like a collecting basin. It will be swamped underneath water. That's not good for the crops, and therefore, Shema Minot, that is the correct understanding. Another statement from Rabbi Yavoh, one to make a bracha, the bracha Hashem, the rains have come. So he says, Mishiyetzeh chosin l'kras kala. When you have enough rain that the rain's coming down, considered like the chosin going up to greet the kala, the ground already has so much rain in it that the rains come up from the bottom to greet the rains from the top. What is this bracha that you make? My mevarech. Some of Yehuda, I'm a rab. Yehuda says the name of rab. Modim anachal loch Hashem alokeinu. I'll call Tipa, Vatipa, Sharad, the Lord. We thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for every drop of rain that you bring us. The rain is so important for the agronomy of Eretz Yisrael. And that was the Tefillah that Rav said. And Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bahachi, he added on from Nishmas the following words. They should sound very familiar to us. Ilufino Malishira Kayam. If our mouths were even as full as the waters of the ocean to sing you praise. Usonena Rino Kamon Gayav. And our tongues were able to sing to you with the amount of waves that there are, so to say. And then you continue saying in Nishmas Ad up until the end, Al Yazvunu Rachamech Hashem Elokeinu, please don't let your mercy ever leave us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Azavunu, and you'll not forsake us. And then you conclude it with, and many say this means Baruch, it means Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Mel Cholam, Rov HaHodos, that you, Baruch Hashem, give us a tremendous Rov of Hodah. When it says Rov Hodah, V'lo Kol Hodos, we say only that you're worthy of Rov Hodos and not all the Hodos. So when it says Amar Rava, Ema, Kael Hodos, say instead that you are the God of Hodah. And Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says Hilcha, therefore, and we turn to Zayin and Aleph, since we're not sure which is the correct year, so we say them both, Nimrinu, Letarbayu. We would say both, and we conclude the bracha, bracha to Hashem, Kenu Achalam, Kael Hodos, Verov Hodos. You are the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Rov Hodos, as well as you are the God of Hodos. And we similarly have this conclusion in Yishtabach, in the Tefillah of Yishtabach, Rashi brings down, where it says, V'chein b'Yishtabach, Kel Melech Gadol Batishpachos, Kel Ha'odaos. And this is, Rashi says, he got this from his Rebbe. And this is a wonderful way to conclude the Shir, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the Kel Ha'odaos and the Rov Ha'odaos.